Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A-double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Frisco, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and, of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And, by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Welcome, everybody, to our next episode of the Briscoe and Big Ace Show. With me and Wes Briscoe kicking off 2021. Before we start the show, there's been a few passings in the wrestling world that we want to make sure we acknowledge, and we haven't had the chance to with the holidays and kind of pushing off some shows. So at this time, before we start the show, we want to take a moment of silence, pay our respects to some fallen brothers in the world of professional wrestling, that being Danny Hodge, Pat Patterson, and Brody Lee. So again, we'll start with a moment of silence for those guys before we get into this episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're live. We're back with another episode, first one of 2021. What a year it's been. We're ready to start a new one. Big Ace here to kick off the Briscoe and Big Ace show for 2021. We've been pumping this show up since we've started this podcast almost 3 years ago. We've always talked about this episode, and it's finally here. Wes, good to see you, but you brought some family with you tonight.
Yep.
So we have the man himself, the legendary Mr. Jerry Briscoe on the show. Most everybody who's watching this show already knows who you are, Jerry, but just in case anybody's new to this, we got to let everybody know a little bit about you. You debuted in 1969, if I'm correct, was with NWA territories through the 70s and 80s, championship wrestling from Florida, Mid-Atlantic championship wrestling, dozens of championships throughout your career. was part of one of the best tag teams in the all of professional wrestling with your brother Jack, the Briscoe brothers, and also had a great career in WWE backstage as well as a resurgence on TV during the Attitude Era and also in the Hall of Fame 2008, and also a very big part of the Hall of Fame and National Wrestling Museum in Waterloo, Iowa, and the George Tragues and Luthez Hall of Fame weekend, which fingers crossed that's happening and we'll all be together in July. Again, Jerry, welcome to the show.
Oh, what a pleasure it is to be on Briscoe and Big A show. I can't figure out which one's Briscoe, though.
I would say it's the better looking one. That's what we'll go with. It's an honor to have you on here, sir. It was an honor to meet you many, many years ago when I did, which was also the same weekend I first met your son, Wes. And who would have thought years later we'd be doing the show together and such a great friendship would be struck up between us. But it has now. So it's fun to have gotten to know you over the years at the Hall of Fame in Iowa and just hear stories of you and your family from Wes. And maybe we'll get some more of that as the show goes on. But, yeah, we've been really talking about this show a lot of getting you on here, and we've been very patient about it. And it's just amazing that this is happening finally. And it's a great way to kick off 2021. So, again, we're just excited that you're here. So let's dive into some fun stuff. First of all, Wes is now engaged. So, we've already congratulated him on that. But you were there when that all happened. How was that, seeing your boy find himself some love?
Well, I was shocked, and I knew it'd take a fine woman, but I didn't know he would capture such a fine woman as Stephanie. So, my congratulations to him and Stephanie, and I look forward to being a grandfather.
There you go. The pressure's on now, Wes.
Yeah, I actually made him record it, and I was going crazy that day. He'll tell you, I was not a fun person to deal with. I had a lot going on.
I told Red this when her and I when she was on the phone the last episode briefly on, dude. I mean, months before you did it, and you had told me you were planning on doing it. Like that day, you were like, "I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous." Like you were already feeling it then. So I could imagine what you were like.
Hey, I got to tell you, he wasn't an easy guy to deal with that weekend. He was a real pain in the ass, and I know what a pain in the ass is because I've raised him all of his life, and he's been a pain in my ass ever since he was a little bitty baby boy. You know, did he ever tell you about Tommy? He punched Hulk Hogan right in the gonads.
No, that has not come up on this show yet.
No, but you're the one that instigated, so why don't you tell the story because you're the instigator?
I'm always the instigator. You know, Hogan came over to back in the days, you know, for those days, we lived way out in the country. I mean, now it's in the country, but that back then it was way in the country of the Western. I mean, we didn't have any type of recreation around except for the lake. And so one day we heard a bunch of motorcycles coming down our driveway. Looked out the window, there was Hulk Hogan, his Brutus Beefcake. There was Hogan's in-laws at the time. And then
I think we lost him.
Yeah, the internet's a little weak out there, apparently.
Yep.
He does have some nice, like, alone land out there, so.
Yeah.
What, do you want to continue with any of this while he's frozen until he pops back in?
Yeah, well, so
as a child to see Hulk Hogan and like him leading like a motorcycle gang rolling up your driveway is just surreal.
Yeah, that was pretty funny because they were all in like typical wrestling outfits. Okay, you're back on. We kind of lost you.
Hey, what should I do? Should I go in your room where the router is or what?
Yeah, that would actually make it better.
Well, let me try that. I got to unplug everything and walk in there first. So,
we'll wait.
Yeah, I'll take him out while he's walking.
Yeah. Okay, the light don't be the shits, but we'll try it.
But again, that's surreal the just a story. Like, oh, you know, when I was a little kid, Hulk Hogan came rolling up with his biker gang.
Dude, I got kicked out of the bed by Hillbilly Gene.
Hillbilly Gene.
Yeah. We'll tell that story. He started that to me every day.
I'm right by the router now.
Yeah, you're perfect now.
Beautiful.
Perfect. Okay, so finish telling. So a biker gang led by the one and only Hogan.
Okay, here we go. Reset the deal. You know, we're looking out the window, hear this noise, and look down up the driveway. Come, we got a long driveway. It's about you know, a little more, less than a quarter of a mile long. And back in it, before I had it paved, and it was just dirt. So look out there, big dust storm. Damn motorcycle gang coming down. You know, we live on a lake and we live out in the country, and it wasn't unusual, as Wes can tell you. We used to have cars coming down our driveway a lot, you know, just people out Sunday driving or weekend driving, you know, looking at the country homes and everything, and just pulling in your driveway. So wasn't a big deal. And all of a sudden, looked out and the bike shut down, looked out, said, big guy, hell, it's Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan. He comes walking up, and, you know, he just wants to be us. They're out riding their bikes on a weekend evening, and so we you know, we get out, and he said, hey, you got a lake back here, don't you? I said, yeah. And he said, let's take a look at it. So we walk in the back, walk out the dock, and Wes, of course, joins us. He's a toddler. He's not a toddler, but, you know, in his early teens or preteens, whatever the hell it was. So he was young. So we walk out the dock, look at the fish and the lake and all that. And so we're walking back towards the house, stop. And Terry looked down at Wes, said, hey, Wes, you like wrestling? Oh, yeah, I like wrestling. Wes said, I could throw a good punch, too, you know, because he used to throw punches on me. And I had to got the crappy punch. Here, let me show you how to do a punch. So he rears back, and, you know, Hogan's way up here, and Wes is way down there. He rears back and he swings. He hits Hogan. He hits him right smack dab in the damn crotch. Hogan, oh, I mean, he bends over. He squats down. I mean, he knocked the breath out of Terry, man. You know, Terry was favoring his balls the whole time he was there.
Yeah, but I don't think it was as bad as me kicking Macho Man in the nuts.
When did that happen? I know whether you Macho Man down at school one day too.
That's when it was. It was at school. You brought him to school, and then we were in the back, and that was when I just started doing martial arts. And he was like, "Oh, show me how hard you can kick." And you looked at me, and I just kicked him square in the nuts.
Yeah,
and dropped him.
That's the kind of upbringing he had, Ace. I mean, you know, he beat up all the WWE stars that would come around. And, you know, Macho Man, God rest his soul, what a great guy he was. And he adored him and Wes. I mean, from the time Wes was, you know, just a baby to whenever Macho Man left us, him and Wes were really tight and really good friends. I was really proud of that because Macho Man was a real strange cat, as you know. He was, you know, he didn't make a lot of friends, but he really had something special for Wes. And anytime Wes was in school and Wes needed somebody there to come and talk, you know, he'd ask me, and then I went, okay, let's call Randy. And we'd call Macho Man. And he'd, Randy, would you come to my school? And Randy, of course, couldn't turn him down. And so here come Randy and Miss Elizabeth to Wes's school. So Wes was over with all the guys and the girls, and especially the teachers when Macho Man was coming out.
Yeah, and I think really Macho Man really enjoyed talking to schools, because when he retired, all he did was work with special needs people, and he pretty much donated his rest of his life into, you know, helping out special needs kids and being there for them. So I think he always had a heart for kids and always just enjoyed the aspect of kids. And that's funny you mentioned, because back in the day, Vince used to give me $100 to be the locker room. I guess you would say bring guys soda or whatever they needed.
You were the gopher. You were the runner for the guys, and the guys loved you and they loved having you around. They'd rib the hell out of him all the time. I mean, you know, they'd, you know, hey, Wes, girlfriend, or hey, Wes, go talk to that girl over there for me. You know, get it. That's how he became so easy to talk to girls, you know, because the guys had him running around doing errands for him. And after the night was over, hell, Wes would end up making more money. Undertaker would tip him $20, you know, somebody else would tip him some money, you know, but Macho Man never tipped him any money. He just gave him advice.
Nice. Yeah.
That's amazing. I get you because Wes and I are, we're the same age, basically. I think I'm a year older than you, maybe. So, like, hearing these stories, this is like, it's like, that's the childhood I would have dreamed of. Like,
well, no, like, you wouldn't have dreamed, you wouldn't want
as a fan point, though.
No, because when you're in bed sleeping, trying to sleep, you got someone like Hillbilly Jim show up and kick you out of your bed.
Kim Patera, the same thing. Kim Patera kicked him out one night. Kim Patera came in, you know, we'd have been on an all-night trip, and, you know, he had just a few hours to kill before the airport. You guys have all experienced that, you know, you don't want to check in the hotel because you're wasting your money because you're only going to be there. So I said, hell, just, you know, come in and get in bed with my son there. You know, he won't know it. You know, it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. All of a sudden, this big old 300-pounder, Hillbilly Jim, or Patera or even Brutus Beefcake would get kicked, or Greg Valentine kicked Wes out of bed, you know. Hey, scoot over, kid, you know, you got company tonight. You
know?
It was quite an upbringing for you.
Definitely. It's funny hearing these stories. I kind of, to me now, maybe makes me realize too why you kind of went all the other modes instead of going into the wrestling business right out of coming out of like high school and stuff, Wes being that. You were around it your whole life, so, I mean, that's what you knew, so mm-hmm. I could see how you would want something different. But it's crazy to see, first of all, an amazing wakeboarder, an amazing career in wakeboarding. What were your thoughts on that, Jerry, when Wes was like, I'm going pro?
Well, I wasn't shocked. I mean, the whole story was, I remember, you know, we back in the day, like I said, we lived way out in the country, so we had every form of dish that you could possibly have, antenna for a TV. I ended up with this damn gigantic, what was it, 12-foot dish, satellite dish that you could remote control, pull in any station, you know, in the world. And so I'd come in from work. I'd come in from wherever I was at, and he'd be on watching TV, and he'd be watching a sports channel. He'd be watching wakeboarding. So like I said, we lived on a lake. We always had a trampoline here for the guys, you know, always, you know, because the athletes and the trampoline's good conditioning for you and good coordination for you. The next thing I know, he's tying a damn ski rope to the back on one of these damn palm trees we got growing out in the yard, pulled that damn trampoline over. He's practicing all those flip-flop and flies from a rope from tied to a palm tree. And at the time, we didn't have a boat, but I had a jet ski. So we rigged that jet ski up where, you know, I could pull in behind the jet ski. But it just wasn't getting the trick done. Then one of our neighbors around the corner that Wes became really good friends with bought a wakeboard boat. And, of course, when he saw that, you know, Daddy, I got to have a boat. Daddy, what can I do? Daddy, I need a boat, you know. So I tell you what, I finally sprung for a boat. And, you know, gas money was, you know. So, a lot of weed would grow in the lake there, you know, during the wintertime. So, him and his buddies would come over, they'd want some gas money. I said, see that patch of weeds out there? I'll need 10 wheelbarrows full of weeds, and I'll give you $10. And you go down the corner and get some gasoline.
I said, we'd drive the tractor down there to get gasoline.
Yeah, they'd drive my old yard tractor down there like George Jones, you know, and get the gasoline. But I really had to watch them because they'd give me a little sack of weed about like this. And I said, no, I want that wheelbarrow full of weed. So I'd have to make them fill the wheelbarrow up, and then we'd push it up front and dump it wherever. Then we'd get 10 wheelbarrows, and we'd go get $10 worth of gas. They'd drive down the court. And I tell you, I usually, you know, when you're on the road, you accumulate a lot of change. I'd save my quarters from the pot back there for gas money. And also, him and his buddies, I know I'd, when I get that buddy staying overnight, you know, all of a sudden he'd think he was sneaking out on me. But they'd go back there and steal my damn quarters and go down to damn Sitco down there. And they had a quarter pinball machine down at the corner down there, and they'd play that damn pinball machine all night. Wes didn't know that guy was a friend of mine, and he'd stooge those guys off every time they come down there, you know. And so I had my hands full with him.
Oh, I bet. I bet. That's great. But, yeah, so wakeboarding, and then you eventually do go into professional wrestling. So, Jerry, let's talk about how that goes down when Wes comes to you. I want to be a wrestler. I want to get into it. The time at FCW, we saw that on the FCW documentary. Still a really cool picture of you, Xavier Woods, and Wes when they won those tag titles at FCW, as well as then eventually going to TNA, Impact, Aces and Eights, and all of that. So when the wakeboarding was all done and he comes and says, I want to be a pro wrestler, what was the stance then? What kind of advice was given? Kind of help did you do?
Well, honestly, I gave Wes the same advice that I like to give everybody else. If you're going to do something, do it all the way. Don't do it half-ass. And I'd seen through his wakeboarding. I mean, he started out here on the lake, like I said, behind the damn jet ski, then behind boats. And there was a tournament over, I'm saying all this to get to the park there. There was a wakeboard tournament up the road in a little town called Land of Lakes on Lake Paget up there. I think Hyperlight or somebody like that had put it on. One of these grassroots tournaments, they're looking for rookies. They're looking for potential riders is basically what they're looking for. It's an easy way to do it. So they set out a boat shop and put on grassroots tournament and the local guys went. Wes went out there and he'd been doing it matter of weeks and months, and he just blew everybody away. I mean, he won the damn thing. Holy cow, kid got talent. Pretty soon Hyperlite, right off the bat, Hyperlite is signing him. So, he gets to the point where he's ranked now nationally and globally, in the top 10 in the world, and he's doing it. So, I kind of knew the wrestling was going to take, and we'd talked about it, and he always, Dad, you're the wrestler. Our family's in the wrestling, but I want to do my own thing first. I want to try my own. I want to try this wakeboard. And so I had to give him credit, it took a lot of balls to do that. And, of course, you do what you think is best for your kid. So I consented to it, and we went over to Orlando. Rode an amateur circuit a few years and, got pretty high up in the top five in the world. And then one year he comes to me, I think Correct Craft or Natick or one of the boat companies now is getting serious, cause he's getting ready to turn pro. And some of these big sponsors started coming to us and, offering some deals. And I knew with Wes's size, cause he wasn't, no giant like me, we had to work to get bigger. So wakeboarding, wasn't something that I was wild about it, cause I'd been to a few tournaments and some of those kids were, you think wrestlers are crazy. Well, those wakeboard kids, they're totally insane. What a blast. I had met some of the greatest parents in the world and I'm still friends with some, one of them, Mr. Friday, he worked for that Free Willy movie. So, very interesting people, and very, very, very nice people. So I knew he'd be a good hand with them. And then he started getting sponsored, like I said, started making some money. But that old injury bug started creeping up on him in that sport, too, because in high school and middle school wrestling, your body takes a pounding while it's growing. You really don't realize, but it takes a pounding and all those amateur moves, get put on you all the time. And Wes was an intense in amateur wrestling as he is in pro wrestling. And that, brother, that's intense. So his body was already beat up. So this wakeboarder beat him up. And then, one day he was proud, I believe it was for the X Games out in LA. He got up and he was going to do one of those 1040s or whatever the hell they're called where you do three circulations. And he come down and that wakeboard just landed wrong, but his body kept on turning. There went his ACL, his MCL, his PCL, and every other LL in his body. Just snapped everything and then boom. And being professional sports, you're wakeboarding the same way. All of a sudden, hey, you're not riding, you're not making us any money, you're not getting any pub for us, And there, all of a sudden, the boat sponsor goes, the clothing sponsor goes, all these other sponsorships are gone. And, they're giving them the healthy kids that are riding, and you can't really blame them, although you were really upset at the time, but they tell you that, you know. And so he came to me and he said, well, you know, we waited and he got healed up. And, you know, he said, I want to wrestle. So Mr. T. Kern, that was running a little independent before he opened FCW, and he was running a little independent wrestling school not too far from my house, about 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from my house. So I took him down there just so he could see a ring and see the set. I mean, he'd seen plenty of rings, but he'd never seen any of the training. All he had ever seen was, you know, the Macho Man's and the Hogan's and the finished product, you know, and the big arenas that we had go to. So Steve put him in the ring, and, you know, he was pretty natural in the ring, you know, from his amateur wrestling and everything. He started going, Steve said, hey, you did pretty good, you know. So we wait a year, and finally, you know, he gets 100% healed up. And so we talked to WWE, and WWE said, send me down there to Kern. At that time, Kern had opened up FCW, you know, for WWE. So he got on down there. And I think about a year into that that growth area there, Dusty Rhodes, I think, is the one that that came up with the idea of Team Hell and Xavier Woods.
It was probably about, I would want to say 2 years in.
Okay, about 2 years in.
Two and a half.
Yeah, it was Dusty, right? So Dusty talked, and I said, yeah, go for it, you know. And, and everybody, you know, you're going to change your name and drink. I said, hell no, he's not going to change his name. That's West Briscoe. You know, why did you want to change his name for it?
Right.
We went with what Dusty wanted to do and kept his name there. Him and Xavier, they decided it was time for him and Xavier to kind of move up. And they put the NXT belt, the FCW tag team belt on him and Xavier Woods. And they got over like $1 million. And, you know, the night they invited me down to watch them win the belt and told me to go out and help them celebrate, that was a wonderful evening for me there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've had such a great career and so many just, you know, just amazing moments. I mean, again, you and your brother and the Briscoe brothers as a tag team, one of the best all-time tag teams. You've held titles on your own. You've had a hand as well as in getting careers started for some major players in the wrestling world as well, too. Hogan was one of them, right?
Hogan was actually the first one.
Was he? Okay. And that was because was that pre him going to AWA?
That was pre everything. I mean,
that was
coming out of a bar room playing a bass guitar in a bar room to Florida Championship Wrestling. Is what it was like. I mean, that's how early it was, you know. We let our trainer, at that time was Hiro Matsuda, a real tough Japanese fella, train Terry. And then he also trained Ron Simmons. He trained Lex Luger. And he trained Paul Orndorff. And he trained a bunch of other guys there. But Hiro was a trainer. And he wasn't easy on guys. And, you know, but Hogan made it through the cut, of course. So, Hogan was the first.
Who were some of the other names that you brought in?
Well, you know, we brought in, I did bring him in, but I got him into professional wrestling, Kevin Nash. A lot of people know that we don't have been talked about very much, but Kevin was a basketball player at Tennessee. Well, I'd traveled Georgia and I'd traveled Carolinas and Florida. Excuse me. I always wanted to get into the business end of the business of the professional wrestling. So I made friends with a building manager there in the Omni there in Atlanta, Georgia, famous old Omni there in Atlanta, Georgia, and Mike Osto, I think was his name there. So one day I was at the body shop, Briscoe Brothers Body Shop, and I get a phone call from Mike Osto, and he said, "Hey, I got a big basketball player here. Name is Kevin Nash. He's 7'1" or 7 foot tall and weighs 3. He just won Mr. Georgia. When he finished playing basketball in Tennessee, he moved down to Atlanta looking for something to do, and he couldn't make the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks. So he was a bouncer at a bar, what most of us do, or most guys do, you know, in between gigs there. So And he befriended Mike Osha, the building manager there. Mike said, "Hey, man, you ever thought about pro wrestling?" And he goes, "Not really." He said, "What do you all think about it?" And about 2 weeks later, he ran into Kevin again, and Kevin came up to him and he said, "Hey, can you get me in that pro wrestling?" And he said, "Well, come by the office tomorrow. I got a good friend I'll call. He's pretty influential. Maybe we can get you something." So this was even I would just got into WWE. I was doing local promotions at the time, so I wasn't doing anything office work. I was just working here locally doing promotion in the southern state for events. And so I called Jody Hamilton, the assassin up in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, "Jody, I got a big guy up there. He's 7'1", 7 foot tall, whatever he is, close to 300 pounds. And he looks unbelievable." Funny story on this. I asked Mike, and Mike, send me some pictures of Kevin. So he had just done the Mr. Georgia contest and he won it. So he was just ripped.
Sure.
So I got the pictures, we were scheduled. It was Terry and whoever the group, Florida group was at the time. I was running Pensacola, Florida. So Terry didn't want to drive all over to Pensacola. So Vince chartered a plane for him. So I got to go on the charter and I was going through my books. And I said, "Look what I got in the mail today." I showed Terry these pictures of Kevin Nash and from winning Mr. Georgia. Holy cow, looks like there's my next competition. Oh, bingo. Who would have thought he was so right on that? Anyway, Jody had trained Kevin, so Kevin was another one that I brought in. I mean, Ronnie Bass in the WWE from Florida. I mean, the list goes on, And then, of course, all the amateurs, sent in. But I wasn't even a talent scout back then. I was just invested in the world of professional wrestling. I wanted to see the product get better. And I saw all these guys and I figured they could help me achieve that goal. And that's the reason I brought them all in like that.
Yeah. And you definitely with the amateur wrestling, because that was kind of your thing. You were really looking at the amateur wrestlers, which, and your whole family, Wes, you included, had a great stints with amateur wrestling. Jerry, you Oklahoma, am I right?
Oklahoma State, yeah.
Oklahoma State. Wes, were you high school?
Yeah, I was pretty good in high school.
Wes was a stud in high school. He had the pin record for his school for a while, so he was a pinner. He'd go out there and there's a lot of guys named on like Steve Michael, you guys probably never heard of him, but he's one of these guys, big heavyweight for Iowa and Oklahoma State. One of a few guys that transferred from Iowa, Oklahoma State, won national championships at both of them. But guys used to be fearful of going on a mat with him because he was so mean and strong. Well, that was West, but he wasn't a heavyweight then. He was an upper, a lot lighter heavyweight. He was a 160 to pound class.
No, so, like 140, 152. Yeah.
But he was ripped, man. He was, cause I had him out here working on a damn farm all the time, and doing physical labor. So he was strong. He was a big old strong country boy. And he guys look at him. Wes, I told Wes a time, I'll let Wes tell that story, but Wes, you just lock up. That's not how you lock up. You lock up and you shake them in their damn boots. So what happened, Wes?
So how did you end up meeting King Mo?
King Mo, okay. You guys had King Mo, and I hear he's got a foul mouth, too. But
yeah.
That was a dirty show.
I've talked on the phone with him several times. Now, he's called me sometimes when, real late at night, one of those late-night calls, and I've heard that foul language. And so... But King Mo was an Oklahoma State guy, and I'd heard through the grapevine, that he would be a good prospect, the Smiths and all those guys out in Oklahoma, they keep an eye out for talent for me. So they called me and told me about King Mo. So I hooked up with King Mo, and I brought him into OVW, and we wanted to sign him right away, and I kept on him, and finally he said, "Mr. Briscoe," he said, "I got to tell you the truth."
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
Nah, everything's PG.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
He said, I love pro wrestling. He said, I bet you want to be one. But right now, all I want to do is knock people out. And I said, well, I understand. Yeah, so you go knock some people out. You won that MMA championship, and, you know, give me a call when you're ready. You know? Yeah. I'm still waiting on that call.
Right. Well, and it was crazy because, like, Wes, you and King Mel met, and you didn't realize that, right?
No, you had heard of him, but you hadn't met him. Yeah, I called my dad, and I was like, hey, didn't you help out King Mo? My dad's like, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And he's like, rib him about Oklahoma State. And so, of course, I started ribbing him, and that's when I became friends with King Mo, and then we became friends ever since then. But, it was cool having him at TNA. He was a real good guy, and he loves pro wrestling, like he mentioned on the podcast. You know, that's one of his favorite things in the world. And it's just cool seeing, you know, all those guys like the King, the Velasquez, and, you know, the Brock Lesnar's, everyone just respecting pro wrestling. So it makes it really, really good to see those guys, you know, get excited to pro wrestle. You know, it's pretty good to see.
Yeah, that's very, he was a beast in MMA. And from what I've heard, the wrestling before that, because I never saw him actually do the amateur wrestling. But
yeah, AC is one of those guys like Wes and like that Michael guy. So that guy's feared because Mo, I mean, you look at him and he's an intimidating sight, you know. But he was just as physical as he was intimidating. So you go out there on the mat with him, you not only had a match, you had a fight. You
know? Right. Yeah. Well, here's a question that I've always wanted to know: how did you get in touch with Kurt, or did Kurt get in touch with you?
Kurt. Okay, Kurt's a great story because when Kurt won the Olympics in 76, I was still, 86, I'm sorry. 96. Holy cow. I'm really trying to date myself. But I had just moved up to the office and just started taking the office job. So, like I said, I wasn't into recruiting. You know, I was busy doing everything else with them. So, I followed wrestling. I followed Kurt's career, and I saw him win the gold medal and all that stuff. But I didn't really think a lot of him because a lot of these gold medals, after they win that gold medal, usually, you know, they get so many offers, you know, that they're not interested in being physical anymore. But Kurt went out to Hollywood on an offer. I mean, the office called him, and Kurt was from Pittsburgh, and our corporate attorney, Jerry McDivitt, his hometown is Pittsburgh. So when Kurt won it, of course, McDivitt called Vince, hey, I had an Olympic champion right here, you know, in my backyard. All hell, I'm going to get this guy for you. So he was always talking lawyer speak to Kurt, you know, talking all this legal mumbo jumbo to Kurt. Kurt wasn't getting it, you know, and several other people had tried, and finally they go through all the executives up there, and finally, yeah, one day I get a phone call from Vince. Says, hey, Briscoe, it's Ken Angle out there. We tried several times. He'd gone out to Hollywood, and they didn't make a star. He tried to be a sportscaster, but he didn't like that. He was good, but he didn't like it. And he said, I think if you call him. So I did a little research on Kurt. Kurt went to Clarion University right outside of Pittsburgh, right outside of his hometown there. But his first offer was to Oklahoma State. And so the coach that recruited me actually was recruiting Kurt. And my coach that recruited Kurt right before Kurt decided to sign, he took another job with the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and founded the – he started the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. And then so Kurt decided that – and Oklahoma State had hired another – Oklahoma State had hired another coach that got them in trouble with the NCAA, and they couldn't participate in the national tournament. Well, that's the main reason you go to a college, you know, to be a national champion on a national championship team. So, you know, it didn't work out. So Herbert was also a great football player, so he lost interest in Oklahoma State when they lost their eligibility for NCAA, and he tried. He had a football scholarship offer to Penn State, and by the time he decided he was going to go there, Joe Paterno had done taken the football scholarship away and given it to somebody else. So at Little University Clarion was the only one left in his hometown, so he took that and became a two-time national champion there. So when he told me, I called Kurt and I used the Oklahoma State and Coach Rod, Myron Rod. I said, we got something in common. So that really gave Kurt and I that really close bond, that we were basically headed for the same school and, same coach involved in recruiting both of us, all that. So that gave me a kind of relationship. So I started talking to Kurt as a friend instead of as an attorney type, all that legal stuff. And, hey, Kurt, this is what we're really all about. You're hearing all this stuff from attorney and from promoters and everything. I'm one of the guys, you ask me any questions. And finally, I talked him into just giving it an opportunity. Of course, he came in. He was natural at it, and he loved it. And he loved the physicality of it, and he loved the competition of it. And the rest is history, man. So that's basically how Kurt got there. I put the finishing touches on the deal.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy how in full circle I get to wrestle him main event on a pay-per-view.
Oh, it was great. It was
a cage match. It's kind of crazy in full circle how it all comes around. I mean, just as crazy as I got to wrestle Dory Funk Jr.
Kurt would call Wes when Kurt would call him from a road if he knew Wes had a big match, and that's Wes how he did and everything. And whenever Kurt would appear, and something that was really great for Wes and all my other high school kids when I was bringing these college guys in, every time we'd run Tampa, part of their payback to me was they'd have to come and put on a camp at our school, Sickles High School, and teach my son and teach all the other kids,
something. It was open camp to every school that wanted to come.
Yeah. And we opened it up to everybody. I mean, it was like an open camp to the city, I brought Olympic championship. I brought Kel Sanderson in, the four-timer, undefeated guy. I brought all those guys down here for camps for all my kids. I mean, not just Wes, but all my wrestling kids,
Right, yeah. And that is crazy that it goes full circle, that you put the finishing touches on Kurt Angle having a career in professional wrestling, and then down the road, Wes and Kurt have this cage match.
That was insane. I always thought that was really cool. Here's a guy that helped teach him high school wrestling. All of a sudden, Wes is involved in a main event with him and a major pay-per-view. And I was proud of both of them.
So also, when Wes was doing TNA wrestling, you were still working for WWE, so I don't know the inner workings of these companies, but my guess is it may not be like great if other people from other companies are at other shows. So how was that for you trying to get to see Wes wrestle? Was it not a problem? I know Wes has told me some stories about you maybe having to sneak into a show to watch him once wrestle while he was doing TNA.
Well, this is a great story, and here's what happened. Wes, with that Aces and H, they were getting hotter than a firecracker. They were the hottest group in the country at that time. The Aces and Mates. I mean, they were doing bang up business, with them, and so they were coming into the Sun Dome, and I hadn't seen Wes with. Wrestle on that level, I'd saw him wrestle on the minor league level, the FCW NXT type level, but I'd never seen Wes wrestle on a major level with major promotion to a major TV. So it was my first time, and all my old friends were there. Bruce Pritchard was there, Eric Bischoff was there, Hogan was there, and I forgot, all that TNA crew was there, and so. I didn't want to cause a scene, and I knew if I just went there as Jerry Briscoe, I didn't want to go backstage and,
Well, didn't you ask before a couple times if you could just come watch me, and you got told you couldn't?
Well, I asked, and they said it'd probably be best that, you're not seen, They never told me no, I couldn't go, but they just said it'd probably be best if I did, And I could understand because, some guy goes and all the dirt sheets, right, hey, Gerald Briscoe's backstage there, you know, what's he doing, you know. I didn't want to call no commotion with the West, you know, with TNA, and I didn't want to cause any friction, you know, at the office. What are you doing at TNA? And after answering 99 questions, you know, I come up with this plan, you know. Of course, the Aces and Eights had those masks, those bandanas, and they told, you know, I did, because you're the one that gave me the damn mask, so I told you what I was going to do. So they're at the Sundome, and I really wanted to go to the Sundome and see West participate, you know, on that level, high level. So I didn't tell Pritchard, I didn't tell anybody I was coming down except for West, you know, and so. So I go in and I get in line. I put on that damn bandana. I put on a pair of sunglasses. And I got a baseball cap on like West, pulling down way over my head, and you couldn't see nothing, you know. So, you know, going in, you're going in to the ticket booth. They make you expose your face, you know. So I don't know why, but they, you know, okay, I pull my mask down, pull my, and I didn't notice, but some little kid about 5-7 years old happened to see me. So I pulled everything back up and I went and sat over in the corner. I said, oh, sat way off in the corner by myself. You know, they had a big house there, but I found a corner up in the sun, dog, like it. And, you know, close to the beer stand, where the beer stand was just a couple of feet away. And yeah, the fairway coming down, going downstairs happened to go into their locker room area there. So I'm sitting there watching the matches, and I knew they were doing a couple of tapings. I watched them do the first taping, you know, and I got thirsty. So I said, well, I'm going to go get me a beer. So I walk over to the beer stand. I get me a beer. I got my mask pulled up and my glasses on, my baseball cap pulled out. I'm ordering a beer, and I get my beer, I turn around, and about three people behind me standing Eric Bischoff. And I thought, oh, man, what a great opportunity. I hadn't seen Eric in a long time, and I love Eric to death. Eric's a great guy. And Eric and, of course, Garrett and Wes were partners and everything. And so I hadn't seen Eric in a long time. So I wait for Eric to get his beer. After he gets the beer, I kind of walk up to him. He's standing over in the corner, just kind of looking around, looking out, you know, like a promoter does. The old promoter used to be out looking at the crowd.
Not to pause you real quick, Eric would always tell me halfway in the middle of the show, he'd always like to go to the top of the rafters and see the crowd's reaction, see how many people, and see what they were. And he would watch some of the show up there just because he wanted to see just what everyone was doing, from the crowd to the people. He wanted to know what was going on. So he would go to the very top of the rafters and watch the show sometimes. And that's when my dad bumped into him.
Yeah. So anyway, I go up and I kind of elbowed him, and I looked. I said, "Mr. Bischoff." He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I think you could beat that damn Vince McMahon, you know, because he challenged me one time." He kind of looked at me like, you know, cocked that head up. Well, who the hell are you? And I said, "My money was on you, Eric," you know. And he said, "Well, you know, I was just running my mouth, you know, it was competition like that." I said, "Well, I still think you can do that." As a matter of fact, I said, "I think he kicked you just about even." And I just started a line of bullshit with him, you know, and he's just going along with. All of a sudden, you can see it in people's eyes. They start getting curious. Who is this guy? I know this guy. He could feel who the hell I was, but
You told me at first you pissed him off. You kept asking him for an autograph.
Yeah, I kept asking for an autograph, and he said, no, I don't want to start it up here. You know, I give you an autograph, I'm going to have to sign everybody else. Thank you, Wes, for filling in the gaps here, because I'm old. And so, you know, and I said, "Mr. Bischoff, please, I like I told you, I think you kicked Vince McMahon's ass, you know. Can I have your autograph?" No. And finally, he just, "Who the hell are you?" So I just take my mask, and I pull it down. And it's Briscoe, you son of a bitch. And then he went over, got four more beers, and we went over to a table and sat down and spent the rest of the evening, you know, drinking beer and bullshit.
Man, you guys said you watched the rest of the show up
there. Yeah, we went up where Eric likes, you know, and we sat there and watched the rest of the show the rest of the night. You know?
Oh, that's nice. I wish I would have known that story. Like, I wish you would have told me that, because if you told me that a couple months ago, Wes, I wish I'd have known that because he was on the Jericho cruise when I was on it this last year, and we were talking. I didn't know if I'd have known that story, I would have been like, I know something about you. You want to hear this? That's amazing. So, again, Jerry, you've had just an amazing career. You got an amazing family. Wes is just so you know, we've said this a few times on this show because when we bring other guests on, they always speak so highly of Wes that it really does show family. You know what I mean? As far as, like, it really shows the people that the Briscoe family is, and you guys are all kind to everybody that are around you and that are in front of you. I mean, you guys have always been pleasurable anytime I'm around. And it speaks that Wes has such a great character and just an all-around great guy in this business, and that can sometimes be hard to find. So just felt like something that should be said just so you can hear that. But you've had tons of great moments in your career, so here's what I want to ask both of you. I don't care who wants to go first, but all these great moments that you've had in your career, Jerry, I want to know which one stands out the most, if you can, or just one that's very just a fond memory for you. And then, Wes, I want to know, what's one of your favorite moments that you think of when you think of your dad?
I'll give it a start since I'm the oldest. We touched on my favorite memory. I mean, I got two of them. I got a couple of them. The biggest thrill I've had is watching them win those tag team championships, in Tampa, Florida, And that was a proud moment of mine. Xavier and Wes blew up watching me celebrate. And the guys backstage blew up watching me celebrate. They thought I was going to pass out there. I was so happy and so exuberant, But that was a great memory. And a lot of Wes's matches that I saw in high school, and a lot of matches I saw my son, Joseph, in high school. They were both really, really good, solid competitors. But winning that tag team championship in Tampa, Florida just meant something special to me. And I'll always be grateful for Xavier Wood because Xavier really, really took Wes under his wing. Xavier had come from TNA. He had already experienced a high level, and he was able to pass that knowledge willingly on to Wes and elevate Wes not only in the ring but up here mentally, and that's what I really appreciate. I mean, it's great when a guy takes time and teaches you how to be a better tag team partner. That's helping him out. But when he takes the time, teaches you how to be a better businessman, that's helping the business, helping everybody elevate themselves. And that's what Xavier did for Wes. And I'll always be grateful for that. And the great trainers that Wes had, from Dr. Tom Pritchard to the great Norman Smiley, to Bill DeMott, who was there. Bill was a great instructor for Wes. And of course, Steve Kern and all. I don't know, Wes, who am I missing? And, of course, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Wes, we got pictured of Wes when Wes was, and if when he was crawling on Dusty Rhodes' dining room table and on the kitchen counter, we got pictured him in a dream, from babyhood, Because Dusty's wife, Michelle, and my wife, Barbara, and Wes's mom, they were like this. So, they were almost inseparable when Dusty and Michelle was living there in Tampa. They didn't live too far from us either. We were always close friends with Dusty and his wife, family.
Yeah, and that time at FCW, I mean, the coaching staff, we've talked about this before when we had Dr. Tom on the show.
It was phenomenal coaching staff. I mean, look at the group of guys that come out, around Dr. Tom. Superstar after superstar after superstar rolled out of that place,
Yeah.
I mean, almost every major star that's came out of there have been world champions. I mean, they've from Sheamus to Drew McIntyre to just, I mean, the names go on and on.
Johnny Curtis, don't forget John
Curtis. I mean, Heath Slater, Roman Reigns.
Roman had just started down there.
It's crazy.
The girls, too, don't forget them. There's a lot of those girls. The Bella Twins were just starting down there.
I was there when I was there. Alicia Fox was there. Trying to think of what other girls were there. I don't know. Really.
But they were just loaded with talent there. But, watching some of the matches, when they the Colonel was really good about, you know, like they'd run shows like on holiday, like Father Day, you know, and they'd have the fathers of some of the guys down. Ted DiBiase had come down, and you know, Teddy Jr. Was down there when you were down there. So, you know, so there'd be a lot of us. Colonel always got a lot of fathers and sons together. Had father and son type events, you know, which was really cool. Colonel did a great job promoting the father tour.
That's awesome. Wes, so when you think back of everything your dad's accomplished that you got to see, what are some of those moments? Because, again, there's some really big ones. I mean, first of all, Jerry,
I'll tell you his favorite one when he saw me wearing a dress.
Just, you know, I didn't grab any pictures of that to use during tonight's show.
To be honest with you, probably when he got inducted to the Native American Hall of Fame was probably – I mean, getting inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame was pretty big, but for our tribe and our nation to nominate my dad into the Native American Hall of Fame, the Chickasaw Nation Hall of Fame, was probably one of the biggest moments of just seeing how proud he was to represent our people, seeing how proud he was to, you know, just show the world what a Chickasaw could do. So that was really, really, really a moment that I was really proud of.
Yeah, I mean, that's your heritage. So, I mean, that's even bigger than the wrestling world.
It was family. It was a family award to me. It wasn't an individual award. It was a family from the very first time. I'm sure you know about the Trail of Tears, you know, when the Chickasaws and Choctaws and the Civilized tribes were forced marched from Alabama, Mississippi out to Oklahoma, and you know, thousands of ancestors died on the way out there. Hence the term Trail of Tears. And got out there, then we were forced to sign the roads and be registered and all that. So it was a family thing, a family survival award. And the Chickasaw Nation is one of the strongest sovereign nations in the entire world, and one of the best led nations in the entire world. And to be inducted by them into their Hall of Fame, the highest award a nation can give you. Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to have my family there and backing me. So it was a great family night.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's just an amazing thing. So congratulations to you for that. So we're going to wind down here soon, but I do want to touch on one other thing. We did do this at the beginning of the show. We had a moment of silence for some of the people we've lost in this last like month or two of professional wrestling, because obviously we had a little break with the holidays as far as our show, Wes and I. So first of all, as far as like just wrestling, amateur and professionally, Danny Hodge being gone was a huge hit. Legendary. I'm so thankful that a few years ago in Waterloo, I was able to see him crush an apple with his bare hands still, and can say that I've seen that in person. As well as Brody Lee passing tragically at such a young age just recently. And then also, we haven't talked about this at all on the show. We were waiting to do it, and then with the holidays and everything, it just kind of got in there. But obviously the passing of Pat Patterson as well, which is something that's very close to both of you guys. And I know, Wes, you wanted to eventually talk about it, and we just never got around to it. So I want to ask you guys about that. Just what do you guys want to talk about as far as, like, just a memory or just, again, I know how close Jerry, you, and Pat were, Wes, and how close just the family was. So, yeah, what do you guys got as far as memories of Pat Patterson and just Jerry, you guys had some fun. I will say that as far as, like, during the Attitude Era on TV, you mentioned the dresses. You know, this was a great thing that I enjoyed watching you guys do. Just the whole Stooges persona, which, by the way, I mean, you had such a legendary career in ring. Then you were doing behind the scenes work for WWE. And then all of a sudden you become an on-screen character again, which I don't know. Did you think that was ever going to happen when you initially started doing backstage stuff?
No, I didn't. It was something that I didn't really plan on happening. Something I really didn't care if it ever happened. I mean, once I quit, as Wes can tell you, I quit. You know, I wasn't like my brother. When my brother quit, I mean, he wouldn't go near a pro wrestling match, but he'd watch it every Monday night, you know. But So when it kind of did, what made that so good? It was so organic, you know. I mean, it just kind of grew on its own. It was something that nobody planned on it being such a hit. The Stooges, you know, getting over so much, but we just the deal about it was Pat and I had such great chemistry together, and we worked off of each other. Pat, as Wes can tell you, Pat was just hilarious, the guy to be around. I mean, you could not be around Pat without laughing. I mean, you know, hey, Ace, you know who to tell? Who told me to tell you hello?
Who?
Nobody.
Yes.
If I heard that once, I heard it 10,000 times. And I'd laugh every time I'd hear him just because Pat would get so much thrill into saying it, you know. But Pat was a dear friend, and he'd be missed. And he was so, you know, so giving to Wes for knowledge and stuff like that anytime, you know. And Pat was a dear friend, and it broke my heart, you know, when he passed. And, you know, and I kicked myself in the butt, you know, that I wasn't more.
Oh, no. It's been good the whole time until just now.
I bet you his computer died.
Do you think? Yeah, actually, it looks like the video shut off.
Yeah. Well, we'll end on that one.
No. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's end with you giving your stance, because like your dad said, he was very good about giving you knowledge. He was always great with the younger talent. But again, you guys, family-wise, being that he was so close with your dad, there was a bit more of a bond than just like a mentor to a younger guy in the business. So,
yeah, Pat, he was really like all the videos say, he was able to like reach you like when you were going through a rough time. He was able to always just be able to guide you through whatever you were dealing with without any judgment, any ridicule, anything like that. He would just be honest with you and give you the right guidance. And, you know, Pat was one of my favorite people in the whole entire world. He was one of those people that I would always look forward to seeing. Like, he was just, you know, would light up the day. So, you know, rest in peace, you know, Pat Patterson, you know, means a lot.
Yeah, definitely. That was a big hit for the wrestling world and just for you guys personally too. So, yeah. So I was going to end with, you know, a few plugs, because I know your dad has some stuff going on. It seems that him and JBL are doing a weekly or semi-weekly story show online, it sounds like. And I don't remember if your dad is doing something as far as like kind of a podcast now.
He's doing all kinds of stuff. He's doing stuff with that comedian, that one, America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know who that name is, but.
Oh, what's his name? He's really funny, and he's all over the place. His name just slipped my mind. He's doing that. He's doing cameos. He's pretty much everywhere. I mean, it's not hard to track what my dad's doing. You can pretty much follow him on social media. FG Briscoe on Instagram, and then I believe it's FG Briscoe on Twitter, and then Facebook it's Gerald Briscoe. But you can catch them all there. Catch a cameo, prowrestlingtees.com. You can get all the Jerry Briscoe t-shirts, all of his merchandise. Then I believe he has an action figure out with Custom Toys, is it? It's the one that Brian runs. One of the toy.
Was it Ringside Classics or something?
Yes, Ringside Classics did a couple of my dad's action figures, and they're up for sale.
Yeah, I believe there's actually an action figure with that shirt on.
Yeah,
maybe the 24 or the Hardcore Champion. I think.
Yeah, with the Hardcore Champion. Short, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one that came out from WWE, if you find it, grab it, because those are not easy to find. I'm still
sorry. No, and then there's also a special edition one that's out that has my uncle's name. It's on it on the box instead of my dad's name, and it's vice versa on both action figures. And there's only a couple of them in circulation, but those are worth a lot.
Yeah, those are hard to find. So yeah, definitely do that. I'm gonna say this, like, we'll we'll probably try to have Jerry back on the show.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely have him back on.
Maybe get a – it would be really nice as the spring here come down to you guys, and we'll do one in person.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully before then we get time to do one at Waterloo for the Wrestling Hall of Fame, but, you know, we'll see what goes on. Let's keep our fingers crossed. I don't want to give any false hopes, but, you know, keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. So, again, we'll bring Jerry back on the show, though, and hopefully he'll get to stay on through the end of the show. We know there's a little bit of some technical difficulties there in this show, so, again.
He lives out in the country. What do you expect?
What can you do? Where I live, I've been having internet outages, too. So, I mean, it's just – it's live and it's on the internet. We sometimes it don't work. It happens. So, but
– I think it was good, Ace. I think the people will like it, and I think –
Well, here's something that's great is you and your dad both amazing storytellers.
Yeah.
Like, your dad paints a great picture of the story. And he has a blast telling it, which makes you have fun listening to it. Because that's an art, man. I've had friends who are like, let me tell you what happened. This is funny. And they tell me the story. And I'm just like.
Yeah, they have no thinking. This is him texting me right now. He's like, sorry, my computer died.
No worries. But now we know where he needs to be and to have it fully charged. So that,
well, that is okay.
You gonna get him on the phone?
Okay, we're just plugging all your cameos and everything. Who's the comic that you work with again? Taylor Williamson.
Taylor Williamson.
Yep.
There you go. Check out Taylor Williamson.
You want me to plug? Cameo ProWrestlingTees.com. Pretty much hit up the old man.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much. Love you. All right, no problem. Love you. Bye. All right, will do.
Bye, Mr. Briscoe.
He's gone. Alrighty. Well, that we'll end on that.
Yeah, that was good. Like I said, we'll bring him back on, and we'll have all the technical stuff worked out so we can get it. There's so much more we could have talked about with him and you in both your careers respectively, so definitely something we'll do again. It was just nice to have him on where we didn't have like five other people with him. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a special day at the Hall of Fame when we did that show, but it was a hard show because we had too many guests. Me and you were very honest about that. We were prepared for two people to be on that show with us.
That's what we thought was going to happen.
So,
you know, we're just going to make a show. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Hey, man, when everybody wants to join your party, you don't tell them no.
No, especially when it's a bunch of Hall of Famers.
Exactly. So, yeah, man, I guess we'll figure it out. Watch Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, the Briscoe and Big A Show. Make sure you check it all out. Keep up to date for our next episode. Again, you can go to the VOC Radio Nation and get those exclusive audio version onlys. If you need to listen to us on the go or something, you can't watch our full video show, check it out at the VOC Nation. Very cool things going on, too, with Mr. Bill after joining VOC Nation. So it's cool to have him on the team with everybody at the
VOC. Yeah, definitely. What a great guy. What a guy with so much knowledge.
Oh, my gosh.
And what a guy that's sharing the pro wrestling knowledge but not being critical, not just what a great guy. I would say what a great person to have on the pod, on the VOC. And what a great just storyteller, and always something good's coming out of his mouth. Nothing negative, always something positive, which I like, which, you know, it's hard to find these days. You know, every podcast, every show seems like they always want to talk about the negativity or who's mad at who or someone said, like, not too many people like us kind of just talk about all positive stuff. And, you know, I'm very happy that the VOC has, you know, made some ads and made some new people on their show. And it's just good to see that people are promoting stuff positively and not negatively.
Yeah, most definitely. So, again, check them out, VOC Nation, VOC Radio Nation on the website. You can get everything on demand, all the other great shows, Brady Hicks, Ken Resnick, Shelley Martinez, a whole whole cool cast of people on VOC. So check it out. And again, you can get our exclusive audio-only versions of the Briscoe and Big A Show. Of course, YouTube, subscribe, click the notifications, share it, let everybody know. We got a lot of plans for that YouTube channel. When things settle down and we can get back to more normal things, we got a lot of great plans for that channel. So you're going to want to subscribe to that now. And again, just thanks for everybody hanging out with us. Let's have a great year, 2021. Man, it's been a year and it's already been a rough start, but we're going to have a good year. I promise you that. And if nothing else, we are going to have a good year on the Briscoe and Big A Show.
Always. And we're always going to bring nice content to you guys.
Oh, hang on. Hang on.
Well, you joined us. You came back in right when we were wrapping up. So why don't I let you why don't you plug what you got going on?
I got everything going on, man. I'm not letting the world pass by. You know, Wes knows I don't sit idle too much. You know, I got pro wrestling tees. I just don't have one. I'm on right now. I got Cameo. Give me a call on Cameo. I'll call you anything you want me to call you except a bad name, and Wes will kick my butt if I call you a bad name because you're probably a friend of him. And I got Cameo going. I'm on Twitter at FG Briscoe. I'm on Instagram at the FG Briscoe. I'm on Facebook as Gerald Briscoe. I'm on YouTube. I'm on whatever to kind of technology you got out there, I'm on that damn thing. So look me up, hook me up, call me, book me, do whatever you want, and everybody has a price, as Ted DiBiase says. So, you know, look me up. We'll have a fun time. And Ace, I want to tell you, really appreciate your talent and what you guys have accomplished with this show. And it seemed like a long time, but it hadn't been, you know, the amount of shows you guys have done. You guys get better every show. You know, every once in a while I sneak in and I'll take a listen to it. You got somebody on there, you know, I listen to King Mo. Heath Slater, funny as hell. I mean, yeah, you guys do a great job. You do a lot of research because I know it's not that guy smiling at me that does the research. It's you doing the research. So I appreciate you bringing him along for the ride, and you appreciate him bringing you along for the ride here. And we're all one family here. So, you know, let's kick 2021 in the butt and move on from that hellacious 2020 and make this year our year, guys. You know, it's our year. It's a year of us.
That's right. You know? Which is like literally we just said that. It's amazing. And thank you so much. It means you have no idea what that means to hear that from you. And both of you, thank you for welcoming me into your family these last
few years. Okay, I'm on good. So long from the Sunshine State. Gordon Soley here. Out, guys.
Have a good one. We're going to end it on that as well, everybody. Have a good one. We'll see you on the next show.
Hey, this is a Total Package. Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room.
Every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are. And we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have
cried? Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out, WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stags of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobbs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.